Seated. Kids are dismissed for junior church. And the rest of us, if we'll take our Bibles and go to James chapter 2. James chapter 2 will be in verses 14 through 26. So James chapter 2, read verses 14 through 26, then we'll pray and we'll get started. So James chapter 2, verse 14 through 26. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man may say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God? Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you for the day that you've given us again. Lord, thank you for the truth of your word. And thank you, Father, that we know that you have something for us this morning. Father, you promised where two or more gather together in your name, there you are in the midst. And we thank you, Father, for being with us. Father, would you give us ears to hear this morning, a heart to receive the truth of your word? And Father, we do thank you that salvation is by Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Father, we ask that you would guide us, Lord, according to your will. And Lord, I believe, as far as I know, every person in this auditorium has put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And Lord, I ask that you would help us this morning, Lord, to walk away having heard from you, having received the truth of your word, being able to see how we apply it to our life. And we ask, Father, you'd guide us and direct us. As always, Lord, teach the children and junior church as you did in Sunday school. Pray, Lord, you open up their minds, help them to understand the Bible lessons, and pray their hearts would receive the truth of your word. And, Father, that your word would sink down deep in their hearts, take root in their hearts, and bring forth much fruit in their life to your glory. And, obviously, we're bringing them to the point of salvation, where they understand their need of Jesus Christ, who is the best friend that you can have. I pray, Father, you would glorify yourself in all the things we say and do today. We ask it in Jesus' name, amen. Talking to us today about a working faith. A working faith, the entire book of James is considered faith in action. When you go from verse 1 to the last verse of this book, this letter that James writes to the believers that are scattered abroad, he talks to them about having a working faith, allowing their faith to be put to the test. Because again, you know, even as Paul says here in verse 14, just to start with, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man may say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? Now, just right off the bat, Paul's not talking about salvation when he says, can faith save him? We understand that faith, you have to have faith in Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 tells us, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we know it's for salvation, we don't work for salvation. It's faith in the work of Jesus Christ. He did the work on Calvary. He said the work was finished when he was hanging on the cross. He said, it is finished. He gave up the ghost. and our sins were paid for by the bloodshed. But as Paul, again, not Paul, I'm sorry, as James writes to the believers, he talks to them about their faith in action. Because if you believe, again, I mean, it's, even as I think about them, it's one of the simplest and probably the silliest illustration, but probably not one of us this morning thought about the pew that we sat in, whether or not it would hold us. We just naturally just sat down because that's what we do, and we just expect the pew to be strong enough, right? I mean, I didn't pay close attention, but I didn't see anybody. Now, if I missed you, sorry, but I didn't see anybody, going and, and pressing down on the pews and rocking the pews and making sure, that they're comfortable. Now, we might do that if we see an old rickety chair that's kind of looks like it's broke, but, our first eyesight, we look at it, looks like a good pew, and we just sit down, all right? That's faith. But as Paul, I'm going to keep saying Paul, I'm used to saying Paul, but as James sits here and addresses the believers about having faith in action, he says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man may say he hath faith and have not works?" And we're going to talk about that this morning, a working faith, because we do need to have a faith that works. We need to put our faith to work. I had someone this past year make a statement when they found out I was a pastor. They said, "Well, I believe in the big guy upstairs. I just don't believe in organized religion." Well, it's one thing. There's a lot of people that believe that there is a big guy upstairs, but they haven't not put their faith in his son, Jesus Christ. Again, I may say, "Oh, I believe that God will provide everything I need because his word says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in Christ Jesus." But do I really put my faith to the test, or do I kind of keep everything for myself? Paul kind of gives the illustration here of somebody coming to another brother or sister having a need. He says in verse 15, "If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit?" What does our faith profit if we don't show love and grace to somebody who has a need? We see the need, we can meet the need, but we tell them, be ye warmed and filled, go in peace. That's not really helping that person, all right? Same point, you think about someone that needs salvation. God brings a person into your path, and the Holy Spirit speaks to you and says, "Hey, tell them about Christ." And we pass that opportunity because we don't believe that we know what to say. Because sometimes, what do you say to someone? How do you start the conversation, right? Because usually we're eyeing the person, we're trying to figure out, what type of personality they have, how are they going to respond? But the Holy Spirit gives us the words to speak, putting our faith in action. I believe that the Holy Spirit will help me to know what to say, when to say it. If God has brought somebody in your life that has a need, and you can provide that need, God's brought them there for a reason. Now, we may think that we can't meet that need. Well, I've only got one coat. Because remember, Jesus said that we were to meet the needs of others. If somebody needed a coat, give them your coat. If somebody needs food, give them food. But we've come to a place in our society and in our lives at different times where we think that we can't do for somebody else. But again, faith, it shows the love of Christ. The faith shows that, I'm trusting God to provide for me later on. I'm trusting that God brought this person into my life for a reason, and it's not just to meet their physical need, but it's to help point them in the spiritual direction that they need, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, if our faith is in action, if we have a working faith, think about your faith. What is your faith in? Well, your faith should be in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was all about helping people. He was all about serving people. You know, you think about what James says here. What doth it profit if you have faith but you don't have works? All right, he says, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man may say he hath faith? Well, I believe God can. I'm just not going to let him use me. All right, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man may say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? He gives the illustration. Where a brother or sister coming in, they have need. Would you look at verse 17? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Again, we're not talking about salvation. We're talking about serving. We're talking about loving. We're talking about trusting God. That's faith. But if faith hath not works, the Bible says, your faith is dead. Your faith is not really in anything. You're not trusting the Lord. Now, we can go through Scripture. We can see where people would exercise their faith. And one of the things I thought about was the unnamed boy who had a, who had a sack lunch. He had 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. You remember in Andrew, when Jesus turned to his disciples and wanted them to give the multitude something to eat, and they kind of argued with Jesus and said, you know, 2 penny worth is not enough. I mean, they were saying, you know, we don't have enough food. We don't have enough money to go and buy enough food for everyone to have a little bit. And then Andrew said, well, here's a lad with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, but what is that among so many? Now listen, those disciples had the faith enough to follow Jesus when he said, follow me. But for some reason, they didn't have faith when they were presented with something out of their control, but in the control of Christ. 5,000 men that Jesus wanted to feed, and here's a little boy, unnamed, willing to give up what he had. Now, Andrew's the one that said, here's a lad that has a little bit of food, but what is that among so many? That boy still had to give his lunch, still had to give it to Jesus. So we kind of see his faith, and his faith was a working faith. He gave what he had to Jesus so Jesus could multiply it and feed the 5,000 men, plus women and children. Who else were there? All right, but the Bible specifically says 5,000 men, because we understand 5,000 men, that's a large crowd to be able to feed. I love the Bible because every Bible example that we have, it's to the extreme. You and I may never be asked to trust God to feed 5,000 people. You think about the power of God. And you think about the faith it takes to believe that God can do anything. Have we lost faith in God? And we would be quick to say no, because we know that's the right answer to say is, no, I haven't lost faith. But our works, our actions prove otherwise. What we do with our faith proves whether or not we trust God, whether or not we are believing that God can and will do what he says. James wants to encourage the believers to put their faith in action. I believe that God can do anything. But am I giving God the opportunity to do anything in my life? Because remember, God doesn't force his way in. God does not force his will on us. He shows us his will, and he gives us the opportunity to choose his will over our will, to choose to believe and to trust. Now, again, when you think about the disciples, yes, we can pick on the disciples and say, well, Andrew didn't have faith because he said, what is that among so many? Forgetting that Jesus has already done many miracles prior to this. This is not the first miracle that Jesus is going to do. This is one of many. So he's already proven that he is God in the flesh. He has all power. There's nothing he cannot do. Now, Jesus takes the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And the Bible records that Jesus obviously looked up into heaven. He thanked the Father. He blessed the food, he broke the bread, he broke the fish, he gave unto the 12 disciples, and they were to go out among the 5,000 men and give them what they had. Now, the disciples now have to make a decision. Do I really believe that what I have in my basket is going to feed the ones that I go to? Because when you look at the basket, you look at what Jesus gives each of the disciples, they're not walking out there with five loaves and two fish in their basket. They're walking out with fragments that Jesus broke and gave to them to give. So they could stand there with what they've been given and not trust that it's going to provide for anybody and just hold on to it and let it rot. Or they can trust Jesus, who says, now go give to the people and just go by faith. And that's what they did. Obviously, we have the account in Scripture where the disciples went. Remember, Jesus had the disciples go and break up the 5,000 into groups of 50s. All right? More manageable. They could go to each group and give them. And as they gave, guess what? Every single man, 5,000 men, had enough to eat. And so much to eat that there was leftovers that Jesus would say, now go and gather up the fragments that there be, that nothing be lost. Now, even though Andrew did not have faith at first, he did put his faith into action when he took what Jesus gave him and went to the people and gave. And then when Jesus said, go and gather up the leftovers. There's always the temptation to not believe. There's always the temptation not to obey because of what we humanly are thinking and seeing. I mean, again, you think about it as you go out there, and I kind of put myself in their positions. I probably would have had some doubt as well. I mean, facing 5,000 men. Okay, Lord, we fed them, but I doubt there's any leftovers. I mean, they probably just got enough to just kind of wet their whistle, just to give them, you know, a little bit to sustain them until they can get into town. But to go out there and to get leftovers, look, that's having faith. That's putting your faith to the test where you and I don't see how it can possibly happen, yet I'm trusting God, and by faith I'm going to do what He says, knowing that He is a miracle-working God, knowing that He wants to do great and mighty things among us, and knowing that if God says, gather up the fragments, gather up the leftovers, there's going to be leftovers. Now listen, as James writes to the believers that are scattered abroad, he wants to encourage them to put their faith to work. And notice, though, what he says in verse 18. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works. I will show thee my faith by my works. Think about that. Someone can say, I have faith. Oh, I believe that God can do anything. I believe He can provide anything. But they never put their faith and trust in Him. They never follow through on their faith. They never put their faith to work. Again, we're not talking about salvation, but we're talking about your faith. We're talking about exercising your faith, putting it to work. We live in a time where faith is not exercised as much as it should be by God's people, because we seemingly have everything at our disposal. May not have everything that we want, but we have things at our disposal. I don't have to pray and ask God to put food on the table like George Mueller did. I have money to go buy food. The danger of having everything is not putting our faith to work. Now, I dare don't pray that God takes everything away so I can pray like George Mueller. I mean, if you're familiar with George Mueller, I mean, he was a man that started some orphanages that he felt the Lord wanted him to start, but because of his past lifestyle, he refused to ask anybody for help. He simply prayed and asked God to provide. He wouldn't ask anybody to give money towards the orphanage. He wouldn't go out and solicit help, you know, for food and clothing. He simply prayed and believed that God would pray. And listen, it's one thing to pray and then go about your business for the day and just go about your whatever you're going to do. But George Mueller, there are testimonies where George Mueller would pray. He would have all the children gather around the table. It's breakfast time. And his helpers would get the children all washed up, get their hands washed up, sit down at a table that's already set, plates, forks, knives, spoons, cups, everything's there. Sit down. Nothing in the kitchen. No food, no milk in the kitchen. And George Mueller would just sit there and pray and thank the Father in heaven who has provided food for his children. Excuse me. He would thank the Father for the food that's not even there. He had the table set for food that wasn't there. He had the children sit down, ready to eat for food that wasn't there. He put his faith in action. He had a working faith because his faith was trusting in God who works miracles. If you know these accounts, remember that this time when he finishes praying, as the moment he says amen, there's a knock on the door. He goes and opens the door and there's a milkman. His milk cart broke down and he can't finish his deliveries. And he asked George, can the orphanage use any milk today? What do you think George said? No, we're good. That's fine. Go on to the next house. No, he thanked him, took the milk in. And then there's another knock on the door. As soon as he gets the milk in, it's the baker. The baker says, you know what? I was burdened at 2:00 this morning to get up and bake bread for the children. Can you use any bread? So here's a man whose faith was a working faith. He trusted God even when he did not see the results. But he could spiritually, by faith, see the result of God providing. I believe our faith in today is not like that. I'm not saying you in this room, just as Christians as a whole, have lost their faith. They've lost their faith in a God who can and will do great and mighty things in their life if they will put their faith to work. Now again, as James uses the example of someone coming to you in need, we have to, by faith, meet the need of that person, trusting that, you know what? God will meet my need. Even if I'm giving them my last loaf of bread, God will provide my need. Because listen, if God brought somebody to you with a need, he's wanting you to provide. Because guess what? God knows if you have it or you don't have it. God knew, Jesus knew the disciples had no way of providing for the 5,000 men. But Jesus knew there was a boy in the crowd that had 5 loaves and 2 fish. As that boy was brought to him, that boy gave what he had to the Lord. What you have may just be a little, but that's all the Lord needs is just a little bit of faith to do great and mighty things. Now listen, James goes on to say in verse 19, thou believest that there's one God, thou doest well, the devils also believe and tremble. Oh, I know the Lord can provide. I know the Lord will provide for this man or woman or couple that have come to me and I've sent them away with a blessing. I've blessed them. I've said, you know, the Lord bless thee. The Lord fill your belly. The Lord give you peace. Lord, bring somebody into their life to meet their need. I don't know if you've ever done that. I don't know if you've ever prayed and asked the Lord to provide for somebody that he brought to you. And James uses really this strong example. In verse 19, thou believest that there's one God. We believe there's one God. We believe in our Heavenly Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are three in one. We believe in the triune God. We believe that there is only one true living God. But James kind of rebukes the believers and says, the devils believe also. Satan and his demons believe that there's one God because they know there's only one God. Now they get people to believe that there are many gods. But James wants the believers to understand the devils believe there's one God who is all powerful, who's all knowing, and they tremble. They tremble in the presence of God. They tremble. because there is one true living God. So we may believe that God can provide everything and do everything, but our faith has to be put to the test. We have to have a working faith that shows that we believe that God is able. Listen, many examples, but last week we had a missionary. Missionary Beeman, Brother Tom Beeman, him and his family are called to go to the Philippines. Now they have the faith that that's God's calling in their life, that God clearly has spoken to his heart and has clearly shown him that they are to go to the Philippines to be missionaries. And they have the faith that that's what God's called them to do. But guess what? Until they decide to actually start deputation and start the road to get to the Philippines, it was simple, just faith. It was dead. See, when God asks you to do something, you have to put the faith into action. Now, with the missionaries on deputation, they've put their faith to work. We are trusting that God's going to provide the means, the money to be able to go to the Philippines and to do what God's called us to do. Again, God doesn't call everyone to the mission field, but he calls all of his children to do something, to serve in some capacity, to give in some way. Because look, honestly, the only way missionaries can get to the mission field is if churches will get behind them and support them. Now, God doesn't call all churches to support every missionary that comes through, but when God lays it upon the heart of the church, say, hey, this is a missionary we need to get behind, all right? And we can say, by the authority of the church, we're going to support you. I'm using him as an example, Brother Beeman. The church has voted, we're going to support you on the mission field. God bless you. Make sure you send your prayer letters every 3 months. But what if we never send them money? We believe God wants us to support them, but we don't monetarily provide for them. We don't read their prayer letters to see what needs have arisen. Remember, he said, in the city of Manila alone, there are 1 million homeless children living on the streets. No orphanage. And he wasn't quite sure the number on the island that he was going to. So what if in the prayer letter we get, he lets us know of a need? Hey, you know what? We believe God wants us to build an orphanage and to take in some kids. You know, and he's asking for help. And we say, God bless you. We're going to pray for you. But we don't help meet a need. That's what James is talking about. That's what God's talking about. We have faith, but faith without works is dead. All right? If God is speaking to your life, is speaking to you about doing something, all right, and you believe that God will help you, you've got to put that faith to work. You've got to do, all right? You've got to put that faith in action. Yes, we believe that God is able, but we've got to give God the opportunity that he wants in our life. Again, verse 18, he says, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Again, when you think about, now this is James, but I think about Paul. I think about everywhere Paul went. Paul believed without a shadow of a doubt that God had called him into the missionary work. Him and Barnabas was there at the church at Antioch. The Holy Spirit told the church to separate Paul and Barnabas unto the work he had called them to. And the church, you know, commissioned them, prayed with them, fasted with them, and sent them on their way. And Paul, until the day he died, was an apostle to the Gentiles, but he was a missionary. He was a man that had a love for people. And everywhere he went, whether he had to walk, whether he had to be on a ship, whether he was beaten, no matter what happened to him, he kept doing the work of God because he believed that's what God called him to, and he wasn't going to let anything keep him from God's calling in his life. Again, you look at verse 20, if you would. You know, back up to verse 19, if you would. Verse 19 and 20. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Again, we can have faith, but we've got to put our faith to work. We've got to put our faith to work, trusting God will provide and God will come through and God will do what he said. Again, when I think about, sometimes we think about Paul, we think about Peter, think, man, those are supernatural Christians. I can never be like Paul. But when you think about, again, I think about George Mueller a lot, just an ordinary guy whose life was a wreck beforehand. He was a liar. He was a drinker. He was a gambler. Just shaming the name of his family. Yet when his life turned around, when he gave his heart to the Lord, and he started serving God and felt the call of God in his life to start the orphanage and just trusted God and would just pray and thank the Lord for the things that God would provide, even though it wasn't there yet, just trusting. Listen, that's faith. I think a lot of churches have lost that type of faith. Faith in God who can do anything. Because we've allowed our eyes to see society. We've allowed our minds to start thinking that, well, you know what? That was in what we call Bible times. God did it then, but this is reality now, and we have to work and we have to make things happen. And we forget that God's the one that's given us our life. God's the one that has given us salvation. What did we do for salvation? Absolutely nothing. Except put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, who did the work. James goes on to use a couple more examples that these believers would be aware of, and you and I are aware of. And the first one being Abraham. Just in case somebody still wasn't getting what James was talking about, having a working faith, putting your faith into action, he says in verse 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Now you remember that account back in Genesis where Abraham prayed for a son and God promised that he would have a son. And Abraham believed God. But some time went on and Abraham allowed himself to be talked into taking Sarah's handmaid and having a son through Sarah's handmaid. Now God said he would have a son, and again, time goes on and it kind of made sense to them. You know what? It may be this is God's will that Sarah, your womb is closed. You're pretty old and your handmaid is young, and it may be that this is God's will. And guess what? He had a son, Ishmael, through this handmaid. But that wasn't God's plan. What makes sense to us does not mean that's God's plan. God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. But when Abraham and Sarah finally had Isaac, they had the promised son. This was the promised seed. This is the one that God promised Abraham. Can you imagine the excitement in Abraham's life? Just the blessing. And yet God asked Abraham to take your only begotten son, the son that you've had with Sarah, the promised one. I want you to take him to a mountain. I'll show you. I want you to sacrifice him there. And Abraham knew what it meant when God said, I want you to sacrifice him. I want you to completely give him back to me. He knew sacrifice meant he had to kill his son. Now, as a parent, honestly, I probably wouldn't do it. If someone said, I want you to sacrifice your son, no way. Again, somebody else may think, you mean God wanted a human sacrifice? No, he wanted a living sacrifice. We're told that in Romans. Be ye a living sacrifice. Give your life completely to the Lord. Now, Abraham was being tested. And again, hindsight's always 20/20. We look back, we know Isaac didn't die. But Abraham, by faith, when God said, I want you to go to a mountain that I will show you, and I want you to offer your son there for a sacrifice. Now, the Bible records that Abraham believed God could raise his son from the dead. God gave him this son, and he believed God could raise him from the dead, but Abraham still had to put his faith to work. He got up early that next morning. He gathered up his supplies. He got his son. He got some servants to go with them. And they traveled to Mount Moriah. You would think, okay, he's at Mount Moriah. That's good enough. No. You know what? God did not stop him until he had the dagger in hand raised above his son. Then God said, "Now I know that you fear me. Now I know that you love me." Now God all along knew what was going to happen. But he still allowed Abraham to put his faith to work. Because it's one thing to say, "I love God," and then hate people. It's one thing to say, "I love God," and then not do what God's word has told us to do. That's why, again, James says, "Thou believest that there's one God, the devils believe and tremble as well." It's not enough to believe. You've got to put that faith to work. And God will ask you at times, as well as me, to do things that are difficult. But that's the whole point of faith, trusting that God knows what he's doing, that God will come through. Again, Abraham. That's why James brings him up in his letter to the believers that are scattered abroad. Because they understood it. Abraham, by faith, he did what God asked him to do. He went through the whole motion, ready to do what God asked him to do, believing that God would raise his son from the dead, and God stopped him at that right moment. But then he says in verse 23, "And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." His faith. It was imputed unto him for righteousness, his belief, his faith in God. Verse 24, "You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only." Remember the thief hanging on the cross, cursing at Jesus. Two thieves cursing at Jesus, both of them saying, "If thou be the Son of God, get down from here and get us off the cross too." But at some point, something happened in one of the hearts of the thieves. Inside his heart, faith was building. And he saw the sacrifice in the middle. He saw Jesus Christ, who was unrecognizable. The Bible says he was beaten beyond recognition. You couldn't tell if it was a man or what. The faith he had on the outside finally came out of his lips and said, he didn't confess his sins, but he simply said, "Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." See, the faith was on the inside, but then it came out. And obviously he heard those sweet words, "Today thou'll be with me in paradise." James goes on in verse 25. He brings up Abraham, someone that they would be familiar with. And listen, the entire Bible should be familiar to us. The accounts in Scripture that we read should be familiar to us. They really should encourage our faith. We really should never think, "Well, that was then. I doubt God does that now." Well, he doesn't in the lives of those that don't have faith. But you know what? As you have faith, put it to work. Rahab is mentioned as the second example. In verse 25, "Likewise, also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works." Now, why would James bring up Rahab? Well, because he brought up Abraham, who was God's son. He was God's people. I mean, he was someone who followed God. But Rahab was someone who did not follow God. She was a harlot. She worshipped false idols. She lived in the city of Jericho. But he brings her up because God's not a respecter of persons. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Rahab, being a harlot, hearing about God's people, remember she said to the two spies that came into the city, she was prepared. She received them into her home to protect them. She hid them on her roof so they wouldn't be found. But before she hid the two spies, she told them that all the hearts of the people of the city have melted because we've heard the great things that your God's done for you. And though all the hearts of the people were melted in the city, yet her heart had faith. And she told these men, now, when God delivers the city into your hand, remember me and my family and save us. Because they were told that when the city walls came down, they would destroy and kill everything that was living in the city. But they promised her by the word, by the name of God, they promised Rahab that she would be safe as well as anybody that was in her home, because her home was on the city wall. But they told her, if you were to go back to Joshua chapter 2, they told her, they gave her a scarlet thread and said, put this in the window. They said, if you don't put this in the window, then whatever life is lost, the blood's not on our hands. But they told her, if you put this scarlet thread in the window, then every life that's in this home will be spared. And you go back and you read that in Joshua chapter 2. As soon as the spies left, as soon as they left, immediately she put that scarlet thread in the window. So that, listen, as God's people walked around those walls, they saw that scarlet thread. But not only that, God saw it. God saw her faith. God saw her faith and she put her faith to work. She was told to do something and she did it immediately. That's what James is talking about in these verses is you have faith, but put it to work. Do you believe God can answer prayer? Then don't give up on praying. On praying for a loved one to get saved. On praying for some financial difficulty to get squared away. Whatever it may be. Keep trusting in prayer. Keep praying because you believe in the prayer answering God. You believe in your Heavenly Father that answers your prayers. Why don't you look back? Look at 26 real quick. Again, he ends his, we'll say he ends the chapter. He ends this portion of his letter by saying, for as the body without the spirit is dead. Right? There's no breath. If there's no breath in a human body, it's dead. It's not alive. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. If we want God, if we want to see God do great and mighty things in our life, then we have to have a working faith. We have to keep our faith alive and keep trusting God and keep remembering what God's already done. Again, James uses two examples to really encourage these believers. And as you and I read the Word of God daily, it should be an encouragement to us that if God did it then, He can do it now. Nothing is impossible with God. All things are possible with God. I mean, surely if God can have a virgin woman, Mary, conceive without the interaction of a man, if God can plant the seed in her womb, something that's impossible, then surely He can do the little thing that I'm asking Him to do. But it's faith in action. It's putting your faith to work. I mean, I believe that my car will take me home today after work. I know there's gas in it. I know the engine will start. But I'm not going to put the keys in ignition. I'm just going to sit in the driver's seat and say, I believe this car will start. But I've got to put my faith to work and put the key in the ignition and turn it. If we want God to do anything for us, we've got to put our faith to work. He's already said that He shall supply our need. He's already said that He'll answer our prayers. He's already said that He'll do great and mighty things. But I believe, and I say we as in God's people, not you, but I say we often put our faith in other people, other objects, instead of God. We've got to put our faith in the one who's given us life. Again, the one who can change the heart of a person. The one who can provide without us even understanding how. I mean, to be honest, I'll be honest with you. I would love to have the faith that George Mueller had. To sit down, no food in the kitchen, not even a can of beans, and just sit down with a table prepared to eat, plates, knives, forks, napkins, cups, and in front of those children. He didn't pray the prayer by himself. In front of those children, he thanked the Lord for the food that was provided. And then to hear the knock at the door. That's faith. Faith that's being put to work. Trusting the Lord. And I believe that the more time we spend in God's Word, our faith will grow like that. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. What is it in your life that you've lost hope in? What is it you've stopped praying for because you haven't seen an answer? What is it that you haven't done that God's asked you to do because you don't see how it's going to help? You don't see how it's going to accomplish anything? You don't see how God can possibly use it? Or you're praying and asking God to send somebody else? That's probably one of the biggest things among God's people is we pray that God will send somebody into someone else's life to tell them about Jesus. When God's put them in our life, we could easily pick up the telephone and call them or send them an email or text them. And yet we often pray, God, send somebody to meet their need. I can't tell you how many times my family's needs been met by people unawares that opening, you know, hearing a knock at our door and opening up the door and seeing bags of groceries because we didn't have money at the time. Now, what if that person that brought the groceries and left them on my doorstep, what if they would not have listened to the Holy Spirit? What if they would have felt the burden of bringing groceries and prayed and said, Lord, burden someone's heart to take groceries to them when God was burdening their heart. Understand, God wants to do great, mighty things in your life. God wants to bless you for being obedient and putting your faith to work. I don't know where you're at with your faith. Go ahead and stand if you would. We'll close the word of prayer. I don't know where you're at with your faith. I don't know what God's asked you to do in your life. But one thing I do know is that when God's word is opened among God's people, he speaks. Where two or more are gathered together in his name, there he is in the midst. And all my prayer is that we've heard from God this morning, and whatever it is, we will submit to it. We'll do what he's asked us to do. Father, we ask that you would.